You are listening to the Developing Up Podcast.
This is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer.
Good evening, Mike. How's it going?
It's going all right, Jake. I just ate some weird blueberry licorice.
Oh, I had one of those earlier. It was disgusting.
It was not what I was expecting. I don't know. I thought it was going to be like fruit leather or something, but I did not plan that correctly.
Yeah, so we have drawers of snacks in our office, and it's always mystery. You never know what you're going to find in there. And sometimes you find some really good stuff, and sometimes you find some blueberry licorice.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess that's better than eating a bag of Doritos, though I also ate a bag of Doritos. But
nothing's better than eating a bag of Doritos, Mike.
Well, nutrition-wise, there's plenty of things that are better than eating a bag of Doritos, Jake.
That's just what the government wants you to think.
Oh, yeah. Orange is a fruit, isn't it? Yeah, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of sugar in an orange.
There's probably a lot of sugar in Doritos. We don't know it. Welcome to the Developing Up Podcast. If you're a new listener, sorry for that strange opening. If you're a returning listener, then you're used to it by now. I mean, we're a couple of developers talking about non-developing things in your development career, so we're going to be as quirky as developers tend to be.
We are. And we're excited to drop another episode on everyone tonight.
I like how you did that, Jake. Everyone, if you stay tuned, you're going to find out what was so awesome about that statement Jake just made.
Thank you.
But yeah, so tonight, what we want to talk about, it kind of leads off from the last episode. Jake, you mentioned this a little bit in episode 16 when we talked about making office connections, but we're talking about making a development plan and the importance of that. And really the importance of making a plan or a development plan, we'll probably focus on development plan. Let's talk about what it is. A development plan, it's a roadmap. I don't know how well I feel about this, Jake, but it's a roadmap to success. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I want that roadmap.
Okay,
I want a map to that.
I'd say it's a roadmap towards development success, whether that is developing a project, a piece of code, or your development career. Having a plan in place allows you to work towards the success you want to achieve.
Yeah, it could be the execution portion of a goal, perhaps.
There you go. That's a great way to put it, Jake. And what's important about developing a plan, like you just said, in terms of goals, it helps you make sure you are working towards your goals. So it allows you to be able to measure the progress you're making.
Along with it being able to measure goals, it allows you to also exercise the different aspects of a SMART goal, right? So those, you may have to help me out here. Let's see. S was?
Specific.
Specific. Specific, measurable, achievable.
Realistic
and time driven. So in considering your development plan, those are all things you're going to want to take into account. But back to the importance of planning or developing a development plan. That's funny to say, developing a development plan.
Developing a developing plan.
But back to the importance, it also helps you prioritize and make the best use of your time using the qualities of a SMART goal.
And that's important as a developer, that you make the best use of your time, your development time as possible. You know, there's only 24 hours in the day, and we've talked about this in previous episodes about time management, that you want to make the most out of the time you have. And this also we talked about in work-life balance, because you also want to have a clear separation of your development time and your personal time. So limiting the professional time you have and making the best use of it is a really important part of why you should plan what you're going to accomplish.
Right. So to sum it all up, Mike, basically development plan is a roadmap to success, whether it be in your project, your career. And it is important because it is the methodical way of going about executing something and guaranteeing that success.
Yes, Jake, that is a good summary of what's important about planning.
Cool. I like it. So, Mike, when would you use a development plan? You mentioned like project and career, but like when you say development, are you specifically talking about actually coding and programming, maybe in a website?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally applicable to actually the actual development dev phase of a project, having a plan in place for what you're going to build, how you're going to build it, who's going to build it. It's an important part to have that plan. But development in this sense, and I think what we're going to talk about in creating a development plan also, it's the same thing if you're developing yourself as a developer, developing your career, developing how you interact with others or how you work on being a better developer. What would you think about that, Jake?
Yeah, I'd say that's really accurate. I don't have much more to add to that. It was well said.
I know they're very catch-all statements, but if you're a developer, you're going to find it's easier if you have a plan in place for almost every aspect of your development career. Not that you're always going to be able to stick to a plan, but just having a general sense of where you want to go.
And also being able to focus on one thing at a time, knowing that everything else is going to be taken care of. You can get into the weeds a little bit, but still be rest assured that you're working towards a much bigger picture.
So I'm excited to talk about how to create a development plan.
Why are you so excited, Mike?
Because I finally came up with, and wait for it, I'm going to get the word right, finally.
Anagram?
No, an acronym, Jake. It's an acronym. Come on. Everybody knows it's the word acronym.
Except for you, Mike.
I got it this time. I didn't need your help.
No, well done. Well done.
All right. So, yes, I was jealous of Jake's acronyms that he's come up with in the past, like soccer from episode
13, maybe?
13. I think it was lucky number 13. So I came up with an acronym for how you can create a successful development plan. And that acronym is DROP. D-R-O-P.
I like it. What do those letters stand for?
So DROP stands for Define, Research, Outline, and Prioritize. If you complete these four aspects, you'll have a solid development plan for whatever you're working towards, in my opinion.
I like it.
Shall we go through DROP?
Would you want to talk about DROP, or do you want to talk about an anagram that I came up with for how to create a development plan? It's called DORP, and it's Define, Outline, Research, and Prioritize. But I think they're pretty much the same thing.
We'll stick with one.
We'll stick with DROP. I like DROP better. No, well done, Mike, for being serious. This is a good one.
All right, so DROP, again, Define, Research, Outline, Prioritize. Define. The purpose of this phase, I'll say, of the development plan is to figure out what the goal is that you're trying to complete. Now, if you are working on a project, a development project, you're most likely working with a team. So you want to make sure as a team, you're defining those goals or those endpoints or that success metric so that everybody knows what they're working towards and you're all on the same page. From the developers to, say, project managers, the creatives such as design and UX, that everybody has the same goals in mind and knows what they're working towards.
So you're at point A and you are defining what point B is.
Exactly, Jake. That's the whole purpose of the define phase, cool, is to figure out what point B is, make sure everybody understands what it is. And more importantly, if it is on a development project and it's for a client, making sure the client agrees what point B is as well. So having agreement across the board, then you can use that as a guiding factor as a team.
You know, it sounds so simple, Mike, but it can sometimes get lost. So let's say client wants this amazing experience, this amazing enterprise level website. The accounts or the client services folks want is they want to make sure that the client's happy. What we want is to write awesome code in a comfortable timeline. We want to come in on budget. And even though we're all working on the same project together, we all want it to launch. We all want it to be a success. There's not always defined clarity around what specifically success looks like.
Exactly. If you're working on a project across multiple teams or multiple members and you haven't talked about what you're actually working towards, as a developer, raise your hand and raise that question. Make sure everyone has an agreement of what you're going to be accomplishing.
I like it.
All right, so that's define.
Define. So research is next?
Research is next. And I'm going to say research is one of the most important steps in this. And that is, I see it as researching what you have to work with and what you're going to need. So looking in either what skill sets you have available, what tools you have available, maybe even what existing code bases you have available or other resources, and figuring out which of those you can use. And then taking that, since you have point B identified already, what is missing? What don't you have that you need?
So it is figuring out how to get to point B.
Yeah, well, researching is figuring out what you need to get to point B.
What you need to get to point B. Yeah. Okay, got it. And then outline?
Outline.
this is what you figure out how you're going to get to point B.
Exactly.
Got it.
So it's outlining is how you're going to get to point B. So the task that you're going to take to get from point A to point B. And we've mentioned this a number of times. We talked about it earlier also with SMART goals, and even last episode with SMART goals. But it's about breaking down what you have to accomplish into the smallest actionable chunks that you can. What is the tiniest thing you can do to move forward? So, Jake, if you are breaking down tasks into these huge items, the problem is you're going to get tripped up and you're going to get stuck, and it's going to be a barrier for what everyone else has to work on. If you are trying to handle three things in one task, and if you don't complete one of those things, you're holding up two others that right. someone else could have worked on.
So with the proper planning and abstracting things into smaller bits, you're setting yourself up for a better success, essentially.
Yeah, and when you break it down to the smallest actionable pieces, then you have a less likely chance of people stumbling in doing the same thing, because you're going to identify what's different. And so then as you're outlining, you can figure out who's doing what, who's tackling what problems, who's focusing on what piece of functionality, so that everyone can work together at just about the same time and move forward.
I like that a lot. And it reminds me how we work on the front end when it comes to building out templates for a website. So let's say we have a large 20 template website, and the first inclination might be to say, hey, Mike, you work on this one, I'll work on this one. And then when we get finished, we'll start another one and whatnot. But the problem in doing that is there is so much opportunity to save code that you're completely neglecting. So you may be writing something that could be reused by me or vice versa, but we don't know about it because we're both working on our own silos. So what we try to do is we break things down into the smallest pieces possible. And the methodology is called atomic design. We don't follow it based on how it was written exactly, but the idea is there, where you start really small, those small pieces come into bigger components, and then those bigger components come into bigger regions, and then eventually a full layout, which is what is comprised of a template, and it allows for the ultimate scalability and code reuse. So it just kind of reminded me when you said breaking things down into the smallest bits possible.
And Jake, I think that's a great way to put it, especially in like development terms, because in what we're talking about with developing a plan and a development plan is breaking it down into these smaller chunks, and then those build on top of each other, until like you have all of them put together, and that's that end goal that you're trying to reach. It's accumulation of all these small pieces.
Right.
So I think that's a great realistic thing to do. Now, in terms of all these steps, outlining is probably going to be one of the longest parts of this, because it's going to take effort. It's going to take a lot of effort and collaboration between you and your team members to really identify, outline, and break down these individual chunks. And it's not a job for one person to do, and it's not a job to keep in your head. I definitely recommend using tools for this sort of step, whether it's for a big project, a small project, or a personal or a professional goal, developing that. Some of the tools we've mentioned previously, Jake, in other episodes, are like Trello or Jira. There's other ones.
I think Basecamp could probably be a good
Basecamp.
Not my favorite personally, but
I mean, you could use Kanban boards. You could even use like Google Docs, so somewhere where you can keep individual track of items that everyone has visibility on and knows their status.
So would you recommend that the team kind of tackles everything together so that they're all on the same page, or do you think it's okay to designate specific roles of ownership?
I think it's okay to designate ownership, Jake. Especially, we mentioned in the last episode as well, jack of all trades and preventing that. By breaking things into chunks, and then you could probably even group them by commonalities, and having people who are more apt at those individual pieces of functionality focus on those, that helps highlight people's strengths and use people, you know, as a team to everyone's advantage.
Right. So you have a project manager who is level setting expectations and providing scheduling and information and whatnot. We have us developers who are coding. Right. That all makes sense.
Yeah. And then even within that, as a developer, you have someone who knows how to write API integrations. You have someone who knows how to produce, you know, SAS files. You have someone who knows how to write database connections or whatever you have to do. Have people focus on what their individual strengths are. Helps produce and plan out a better product in the end without a lot of wasted time.
That's really good. And it's also reminding me of what is going on one of my projects right now, where we are building this project. It's a website. It's going pretty fast, but there's also a bunch of third-party integrations. A little bit difficult to wrangle, but since we had a pretty solid development plan, it has actually been going pretty smoothly, given how many moving parts there are. So, you know, we have a project manager who's been wonderful, who has been reaching out to the companies themselves, third parties, providing us with documentation. We've been communicating with the client directly to make sure everything's in sync. So there's a lot of moving parts, but because we had a plan in place, it was able to go rather smoothly.
Yeah, and that's what's important, is having that plan allows those moving parts to work together and allows them to move smoothly. And then also with Outline, not only are you going to break down what you need to accomplish into the smallest actionable tasks you can, but you also want to start working on a schedule. And I'm not going to even get into the aspects of estimating tasks, because that's a whole episode on itself. But scheduling, maybe how long you... Oh man, that's going to be estimating. Scheduling how long you think a task is going to take. I'd recommend even just a gut feel.
We're not even getting into each individual task, but maybe these pillars throughout the roadmap.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's a way better way to put it. Thank you, Jake.
Kind of like sprints, how we...
Yeah, so scheduling when you're going to work on items, when the team's going to focus on what item, that's a big part of outlining to help just lay out that roadmap that you're trying to build.
Right. And like you said, definitely an episode in and of itself, but the main takeaway here, I would imagine, to be able to track your progress.
Yes.
So if you have split things into four ways and you're halfway through the first one, but you're falling behind, you may need to adjust the rest of the schedule to even things out.
Yep. To adjust it accordingly. That's right on point, Jake. So Jake, after you outline your tasks for the endpoint you're working towards, the P in drop is to prioritize. What's important here is that there are items that are going to be more important than other. Not everything is the highest priority. Figuring out as a team what is the most important thing to work on first is a very important part of developing a successful plan.
And this reminds me of the agile methodology, where you might be working on something and I might be working on something, but I can't work on the next thing until I'm unblocked. So you got to be able to pivot and address things as they come up and allow it so everyone is able to continuously move.
Yeah, and that's why I had this separated out from outline, because you're not going to, as you're coming up with these small tasks, you're not going to be able to always prioritize them in the order they need to get done. It's as you're performing the work that you start to realize what items are blocking other items, and priorities change and priorities bubble up, and something that is very important today may not be as important tomorrow. Maybe the client ask has changed, so now this feature is no longer as important to be accomplished. It's not critical to the endpoint that you're reaching.
Right. I'm glad you separated them, Mike. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think any developer can relate that you can't foresee everything that's going to happen in a project, so you need to be able to adapt.
Right. And like you said, Jake, that follows Scrum with sprints. In Scrum methodology, at the end of a sprint or at the beginning of a sprint, you prioritize what you have to work on for the next sprint cycle. In Kanban, the Kanban methodology, what you actually do is when you complete a task, then you reach for the one that your team thinks is the next highest important one. And there's someone whose job it is to constantly be reevaluating the tasks that are left to do and which one's the highest priority. I believe that's correct for Kanban. I haven't used Kanban in a while. So
I haven't ever used Kanban, but that sounds familiar. Yes, that's how it's been described to me.
When I talk about Kanban, all I picture in my head is the show Silicon Valley, because they use it in there. And it's, Oh, Jared.
He's my favorite.
Listeners, if you haven't watched Silicon Valley, it can be sometimes a little too real about what it's like.
A little too close to home.
Yeah, a little too close to home. And if you're a developer, watch it. Like, when I watch it, and my wife is there, and she's like, why are you laughing at that? I'm just like, because it's so true. And she just doesn't get it. But if you're a developer, you get it.
Are you a tabs or spaces guy, Mike?
I am a spaces guy. Are you a tabs guy?
Yeah.
Well, the coding standard that I work in a lot, the indent is two spaces. But I have that mapped to my tab key in my IDE, so I just have to hit tab, but it only does two spaces.
I'm also a two-space tab guy, but they're tabs.
They should be spaces, Jake. Well, see, if you have the right IDE, it doesn't matter. It can change them. So you shouldn't break up with your girlfriend if she believes in tabs or spaces. Spoiler alert.
It can make for some messy PRs. Yeah. But
so, Jake, something I want to talk about. So, all right, let me actually recap. My anagram. No. Yeah? Anagram? No.
My anagram, DORP?
No.
Is an anagram of your acronym, which is...
Drop. All right. I'm going to get that word right one episode, and our listeners are going to applaud.
You need a development plan.
I need one. I need to learn words. All right. So DROP stands for Define, Research, Outline, Prioritize. Those are the four steps to follow to develop a successful plan with your team. Now, you can have the world's best development plan, the best team on it, but it may go sideways. And so I want to touch on a little bit what happens when you have a plan and it's starting to fail.
Uh-oh. Okay. Uh-oh.
Jake has never experienced this before, I'm sure.
Nope.
The number one thing I would recommend, if you have a plan and it's falling apart, is to just stop what you're doing and analyze what's causing a problem. Because by trying to power through what's throwing your plan off the rails isn't going to solve anything. It's like ignoring that bug in your code. It's still going to be there, and it's still going to crop up and cause problems later on. So if there is something that's causing problems in your plan, you want to solve it as soon as it comes up. And that can be as simple as, I don't know, fixing your code. Maybe it's a code problem. I don't know. Talking with the client and getting a better sense of what wants to be accomplished, or just reevaluating with your team, again, the idea of what the endpoint is that you're trying to reach.
Yeah, it's okay to take a step or two back and go back through that reevaluation process or re-outline things as changes crop up.
Yeah, and we talked about this way back in episode one with goals and dumb goals. You're working towards a big dumb goal in your career, and you may get to a point where you're going to pivot and change. You're going to realize something is more important than what you're trying to work towards. And it's the same thing with a development plan. You may come to a point where you have to realize as a team that you have to pivot and change what you're doing for the success of the project, whether it's you didn't fully understand what was supposed to be accomplished and you have to reevaluate what success means, the goal is, or there's just other problems that are stopping you from making the progress you want to make.
And it's important to say that just because you need to do that does not mean you failed. It is still success in a certain way. You have learned something, you've put something down, and that's good. And you may need to take it back and reconfigure it a little bit, but it's failing forward. It's not the end all be all.
That's right, Jake. I completely forgot about the phrase failing forward. I would say the only time you fail with a development plan is when you have a plan that you can't change. You have to have something that is somewhat fluid and dynamic that you can adjust with the changing winds of development.
That was good. I really like that acronym, Mike. I know I was giving you a hard time, but it's really good. Yeah.
All right. So should we talk about key takeaways? Are we good for that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
So development plans. Having a development plan creates alignment on end goals. And as we said, those are really important. But a development plan itself is basically a roadmap to success, whether it be in your project or your career.
Yeah. And a development plan is what helps keep you on track and measure that progress, whether it is for a project or, as we've highlighted, your career. It helps prevent stagnation in both places, and it helps you from wasting time and to prioritize what you need to get done.
And in Mike's DROP analogy, define, research, outline, we talked about how planning is not a one-person job. It's important to get feedback and input from your team, be on the same page, and make sure that everyone is taking ownership of a certain role, but that you're all aligned at the same time as well.
And then if you have a plan that is going sideways, stop and evaluate what is causing the problem. Be sure to be able to pivot and change your goals or what you're trying to work towards and reevaluate your plan.
Would you say that that's called the stop, drop, and roll?
Well, I was actually in my head, Jake. I was trying to come up with stop, collaborate, and listen, which it could work. You want to stop what you're doing, collaborate with your team, and listen to find out what problems there are. All right, I worked in some Vanilla Ice.
That's good. I like it.
I wish we could pay royalties to change our intro music for this episode. But listeners, I would love to know, I'm sure Jake would love to know as well, how do you go about creating a successful development plan? And how do you use development plans either towards your projects with your teams or in your development career?
Something I would be really curious in knowing is what tools you use. And I know that's not all about tools, but whenever you talk about productivity or tools with someone, everyone always has their own way of doing things. And I remember when we had that talk about productivity and how
productivity. Remember that?
Yep. But I would be really curious to hear what kind of tools and systems our listeners
utilize. Yeah, I want to know what you use to collaborate with your teammates, what you use to keep track of your tasks, and I guess, yeah, those two sort of things I'd love to hear because there's so many out there, and I'd love to hear what our listeners are using.
Yeah. So please reach out to us on Twitter. Our handle is @DevUpPodcast. You can also email us at hello@developingup.com. And this is episode number 17, which means you can go to developingup.com/17, as in 17, and you can join the conversation there and read the show notes that we have included along with the episode.
And if you want to help us be successful in our plan to help other developers, we'd love it if you left us a rating or a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. It'll help us. Hopefully it'll help others. And well, it'll help us reach our goal from episode one, which if you don't know what our goal is, you should go listen to episode one.
And another way you can help us do that is share it with a friend or share it with a colleague. We're always looking to grow our audience and get different insights from different developers.
Yeah. Jake, I feel like this is a shorter episode, but that could be because we had a really good plan for it. So we were really efficient with our
time. Yeah, it was very efficient. It was a nice, concise outline, but I think it's packed with some good things.
Yeah, me too. And I hope you think that as well, listeners. So until episode 18.
See you all later.